The Ravens had us fooled. The Ravens had us all fooled. I was thinking undefeated streak, 17-0, no losses, straight shot to the Super Bowl. Not to be. Not to be. Welcome to the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Njoku. And the Ravens lose to the Indianapolis Colts. Huh? 22-19 in overtime. In Baltimore. Yeah. Yeah. Let that sink in. Crazy. After defeating the Cincinnati Bengals, I mean, 27-24 was the score, but the Ravens really did a number on those Bengals. You'd expect the Ravens to come out in Baltimore and pick up the victory. Not to be. And now there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. We'll have a lot to talk about, including that loss to the Indianapolis Colts. We'll also have Noah Weisskopf, who's the writer for the USA Today via Browns Wire. He'll come and talk to us all about that upcoming matchup between the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. But first, we have to get into it. The Ravens lose to the Indianapolis Colts. I am shocked. And I'm not shocked because, you know, there were inclinations that will have you believe the Ravens should have blown them out. But it's the way they lost that really just has me befuddled. For those of you who are listening or watching on YouTube, This is being recorded on Tuesday, and thank goodness, because on Sunday, I was furious. Not as a fan of the Baltimore Ravens, just as a watcher of football. If you paid attention to me, you know that I fell asleep throughout most of the Greg Roman era. Most of it. It was so boring. In comes Todd Monken, and I thought, yes, fun football. Someone's going to use Lamar Jackson the way he needs to be used, and I'm going to get to experience football as a true fan. I got a glimpse in week two. But week three, no. No. I tell you, I just wanted to come to Greg Roman and ask him a question. I said, hey, is Steve Bisciotti writing checks for you still? I'm sure they look at me and say, no. What are you talking about? And I said, is Steve Bisciotti writing checks for you still? Because I'm looking at this offense and it just looks exactly the same as it did last year. And he said, bro, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't work for the Ravens. Get out of my face. And I said, okay, fine. On to you, Steve. Steve Saunders, are you still coaching for the Ravens? Are you the strength and conditioning coach with all these injuries? Are you serious? Are you seriously still with the Ravens? Of course, he'd look at me like I'm stupid and say, just get out of my face. No. Because the Ravens have injuries upon injuries upon injuries upon injuries. And the Ravens looked pedestrian on offense. But let's talk about injuries. Let's get into that, because we can't talk about this loss without talking about how the Ravens once again find themselves in the medical room, in the ER. There's so many names on this injury report that I can't even memorize it for you guys. So I have to read it. I literally have to read the names. Let's start it off. On offense, J.K. Dobbins, hurt, out for the season. Justice Hill, hurt. Gus Edwards, hurt. Keaton Mitchell, hurt. OBJ, hurt. Rashad Bateman, Tylan Wallace, on injured reserve as of this recording. Tyler Lindenbaum, hurt. Angie Voorhees, hurt. Ronnie Stanley, hurt. Nick Moore, hurt. That's just on offense, guys. On defense, Marlon Humphrey, hurt. Demarion Williams, Trayvon Mullen, Marcus Williams, Ardarius Washington, Odafe Owe, David Ojabo, Malik Ham, Tyus Bowser, all injured. Are the Ravens cursed? Am I cursed? Do I have to sit here and watch another year of boring football? I really tried to do this a couple of days removed, so I'm not as agitated and portraying myself on the television screens or your podcast airways, wherever you're listening to me. But Jesus, it's tough. It is tough to deal with this, especially for a team with Super Bowl aspirations, in my opinion, should be considered one of the best teams in the National Football League. But they lose. They lose to the Indianapolis Colts. I mentioned it earlier, the offense looks exactly like they did last year, albeit with a couple of wrinkles here and there. Nothing like I saw in week two. Red zone offense, successful, but quarterback runs, no type of, you know, exotic designs to fool the defensive coordinator. No, 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 nothing like that. The game plan, I don't know what it was. The Colts came in with one of the best run defenses in the National Football League and one of the poorest, one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. And last week we talked about it. We fully expected the Ravens to spread out the field and let Lamar Jackson go to work. Easy day. Easy day. No. It was raining, I guess. Inclement weather really pays dividends for the Ravens in a very negative way. So I'm sure the offensive coordinator talked to John Harbaugh and they decided to take more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? A leaning approach. Nothing too crazy. Run the ball. Use what you have to your advantage. But at the end of the day, it's actually the nose. Football is played outside. So I'm not using inclement weather as an excuse. The Ravens shouldn't either. The game plan was flawed. Just spread the ball. You have too many playmakers, even without OBJ. You still have Zay Flowers. You still have Mark Andrews. Nelson Aguilar. Jesus. Tough, tough, tough to watch. So where do we place the blame? I mentioned Greg Roman. He's not here. Can't blame him. Saunders? Can't blame him. So who's left? It falls on John Harbaugh, unfortunately. And I say that with hesitation because I consider John Harbaugh to be one of the top five best head coaches in the National Football League. In fact, I'll just go ahead and list them out to you right now. Number one, of course, we have Bill Belichick. Number two, we have Mike Tomlin, who, in my opinion, is the best coach in the league. But we have to give Belichick his flowers as the best. You just have to. It's kind of like a Michael Jordan thing. He's the best, man. He's really not the best right now, but he's the best. So Belichick at one, Tomlin at two. Andy Reid at three, obviously. And then, in my opinion, John Harbaugh right there at four. And Kyle Shanahan at five to close it out. That's my top five. So for me to criticize John Harbaugh, I have to add that asterisk like, hey, he's to blame for this, but he's also a top-notch head coach. But the thing that bothers me with Harbaugh is his main attraction for me is also at times his biggest blunder, his greatest weakness. Preparation, clock management, just understanding when to motivate the guys and get them ready for a game because they didn't seem like they were ready to play, right? I'm not just talking out loud as a crazy person, am I? You guys let me know. Am I being inconsiderate here? Am I being foolish to say the Ravens didn't seem that they were prepared for this game? And that's really John R. Harbaugh's MO. He's not an X's and O's guy, even though I hate saying that because I really think that John Harbaugh knows football more or better than most NFL head coaches. He's just not that Andy Reid guy who's going to pull up an exotic play out his butthole and shove it out there on the field, okay? But he still knows football. But his main attraction is his leadership. He's a motivator. He gets the guys going. But time and time again, I mean, after the game, I just heard DMX's song ringing in my head over and over again. Here we go again. Over and over. Every year there's these games where the Ravens should win and they fall short. So yeah, I want to blame Tom Monken because the offensive game plan was foolish. Yeah, you might say that Lamar Jackson didn't have the best game. He maybe threw behind a couple of receivers in pivotal moments. Yeah, we could blame the refs because there were lots of face masks and defensive pass interference calls, especially in overtime. They really shaped the game. What I'm thinking about is preparation. What I'm thinking about is calling fair catches after punts following safeties that keeps time on the clock for the opposing team to come and tie the game to send it to overtime. Those are the types of situations where I'm thinking about. And it falls on the head coach. And I'm sure Harbaugh might be watching this, maybe, maybe not. The Ravens press room, their PR staff is really good at getting stuff like this out so that Ravens are aware. So I'm sure he'll hear about this and say, why is Sam on me? Don't worry. Everything happens for a reason. I'm not too upset about this loss. I'm more concerned about what's to come. People make mistakes. The Ravens aren't prepared for this game. I'm sure they'll be prepared for the next game. This won't happen again. But my issue is that this stuff keeps happening. Keeps happening, guys. The offense, We have these receivers. We have a new OC. Very exciting time in Baltimore. Running game like this keeps happening. Speaking of running game, and I'm going off on a tangent now. So what? Gus Edwards was nowhere to be found in the second quarter. He was killing the Colts on defense, really just gashing them. And in the second quarter, he was nowhere to be found. I thought he was injured. I mean, literally, I was on the phone with sources trying to figure out guys who were up in the press box. If you heard anything, does anyone say anything? Nothing on the broadcast to say that, nope, just not using him. Let's give Kenyon Drake a try. Melvin Gordon, here you go. I mean, maybe there's something there that we don't know about as far as his injury. He did end up in concussion protocol, but that was well into the second half. So, but ooh-wee. Things like that just piss me off, if I'm being quite honest. But there's still hope. It's still week three. The Ravens are dealing with injuries, and those guys are coming back. Maybe not as fast as we would like, but there's 14 games left, as John Harbaugh said. Plenty of opportunity for the Ravens to come back. I was drinking the purple Kool-Aid, guys. I rarely do it. Guys that have followed me for years know I'm not a purple Kool-Aid guy, but the offense had me so excited I was thinking undefeated streak. And I was definitely not thinking the Ravens would lose to the Indianapolis Colts, who didn't have their starting quarterback, who pretty much are ineffective as a pass defense. Went into Baltimore, a la 2006. Remember that? Remember the division around in the playoffs with Steve McNair? When we thought the Ravens were going to go to the Super Bowl and the Colts kicked 5 field goals to beat the Ravens? Oh, yeah. I'm that old school. I know. I had that feeling, and it just sucked, especially given the fact that the Baltimore fans have been dealing with, you know, the Colts leaving back in the 80s, and we really wanted to shove it into those Colts fans and let them know that, hey, you guys may have left us, but the Ravens are here and they're dominating. But no, they fall short to the Indianapolis Colts. So where do we go from here? Well, there's a 2-game series coming up. I call it a 2-game series. It's not baseball, but the Ravens have 2 games upcoming, division opponents on the road, Cleveland Browns, followed by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both teams won in week 3. In fact, all 3 divisional opponents, Bengals, Browns, and Steelers won in week 3. The Ravens, the only team to lose. Now, what went from a conversation of, oh, the Ravens might have this division locked up by week 10. Now we're in a dog race. Browns, Steelers, Ravens tied with 2-1. Bengals 1-2. Fortunately for Ravens fans, the Bengals lost to the Ravens in week 2, and now they're about a game and a half back. But it's anybody's ball game. Is week 4 coming up? And we'll see what the Ravens do from here. Can they recuperate? Can they bounce back from the choke job? That's what I'm calling it. It was a choke job by those Ravens against those Indianapolis Colts. We'll see. When we return, we'll have Noah Weisskopf from the Browns Wire join us to talk all about the Cleveland Browns after they dominated in week 3, and look forward to an upcoming matchup against those Baltimore Ravens. Big rivalry game coming up in week 4 on the road in Cleveland. Can the Ravens get the job done? We'll find out. This is the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. As you mentioned, we're going to have the Ravens going up against the Browns in week 4, and we'll have Noah Weisskopf, who's a writer for Sports Illustrated, joining us now to talk all about that big matchup, that big division rivalry. Welcome to the podcast, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Now, yeah, so we had a big, big, big game in week 3. The Browns looking like they're going one way and the Ravens going down another. Can you give us a little glimpse of what the resolve is like with the Browns, seeing as they lost Nick Chubb in week 2 against the Steelers and they came back in a very big way?
Yeah, obviously a huge loss. All around with every player on the team, Nick Chubb is the face of this team, the heart of the team, and everything that he does, the team, he's just one of those guys that if he is speaking up, everyone's listening. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys that just does his work, comes in every day. He doesn't say much, but again, like when he starts talking, people just automatically go and listen. And obviously his work speaks for itself on the field. But yeah, a huge loss. The Browns feel very comfortable with Jerome Ford back there. that's why they brought in a guy like Kareem Hunt, who's going to kind of complement Jerome Ford. I think a common misconception was sort of that Hunt would take over this backfield. However, that's not going to be the case. Jerome Ford's going to be that running back one. Kareem Hunt's going to go in there and complement him. Hunt's very, very solid when it comes to the passing game, whether that's going out to catch the ball or pass blocking. He's really solid in that department. But in terms of Chubb, everything that this team does from here on out has been, is going to be dedicated to Chubb. Last game, when they beat the Titans, a couple of guys, Kareem Hunt included, had number 24 under his jersey. Miles Garrett had Nick Chubb's name written on his armband or whatever it was. Even after the game, Kevin Stefanski had a game ball for Nick Chubb, personally drove it to his house and delivered it to him after that game. So it just goes to show you how much of an impact Nick Chubb is on this team. So a huge loss, obviously, but the Browns are now dedicating this season to him and going to keep rolling forward.
Yeah, and you see situations like this where players go down or there's a huge loss to a family member where teams really use that to rally around and pick up W's, and that seems like to be the case, at least in week three for the Browns. Now, we talked about Nick Chubb. The offense really was centered around him. And now that he's gone, it seems as though the Browns are making that shift to really put the reins on Deshaun Watson and have him take over the game. So do you see that happening? Do you see the Browns really making the game plan, especially on offense, centered around Deshaun Watson and really having him use his talents to pick up wins?
I do. And I think that Nick Chubb was almost serving as a safety blanket for Deshaun Watson as he continues to get acclimated into this offense. It was just obviously much nicer for him to have Nick Chubb back there, where if you just need to hand the ball off, you know that he can make something happen. And I know Jerome Ford can do that as well. But Nick Chubb, obviously one of the best running backs in the league. So it's just a comfort level thing with Deshaun Watson having him back there. But yeah, something that the Browns were looking to do even before Nick Chubb got hurt was to get this passing offense going, this passing game going. That was why they brought in a guy like Elijah Moore, why they drafted a guy like Cedric Tillman. They have all these assets and these weapons on the outside, and they want to get that passing game going. There were some concerns in training camp that the vertical passing game might not be up to speed on maybe some of the other high explosive offenses, but we're going to certainly see. And they obviously emptied out their playbook with those downfield throws this past week against Tennessee with the Amari Cooper had his touchdown. He had one called back as well. And then a couple of others, they got Elijah Moore way more involved. And it obviously just looked like, just from a standpoint of watching the game, that Deshaun Watson already looks a little bit more comfortable, and he just needs to continue to stack those on top of each other.
Okay, well, we talked about the offense, and I think it's really going to be, as the National Football League is all about passing, but for the Browns especially, it seems like defense is going to rule the day. Now, in week one, they really shocked the world when they beat the Cincinnati Bengals, and then they went around and did the same thing, performance, I should say, against those Tennessee Titans. Can you talk about the defense? It feels like Myles Garrett is in midseason form. He's really just terrorizing offensive coordinators. Is he really the missing piece, do you think, to maybe a championship caliber defense? Because, man, the Browns are really impressing me, especially in that front four.
This defense has not only impressed everyone else, but it's not only been dominant. I think that's almost an understatement. This defense has been straight up historic. They're setting records. Some of their stats for the season on opposing first downs, rush yards, pass yards, net yards per game are historic numbers. And it's all because of Jim Schwartz. He's the start. He's at the center of this defense. When the Browns hired him, whenever and what month it was over the offseason, there were a lot of guys on this roster already who knew who he was, had had connections with him in the past. And from him being a head coach to being a Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator with the Eagles, as soon as he walked in that building, he got the attention of all these defensive guys. He had that voice that was already proven. And I think that's exactly what the Browns were going for. And that's exactly what they got with Jim Schwartz. So these guys took notice of him as soon as he walked in the building and had seen his success. And immediately these players bought in to what he was giving them because they knew that an outcome would be what is going on right now. Obviously, with Jim Schwartz at the helm, you need players to complement that. He can't do it with a bunch of random players. So they brought in guys like Ogo Okoronkwo on the offensive or on the defensive line. They brought in a guy like Za'Darius Smith to get pressure on the quarterback. And with their corners, what they already had, what they're able to do is send blitzes all the time and play man-to-man on the outside. So the quarterback has a couple of seconds to make a decision on where he wants to throw the ball. But in those few seconds, it's hard for these receivers to create separation on a corner tandem with Denzel Ward, Greg Newsom, Martin Emerson. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. And they're able to affect the quarterback and make the quarterback make decisions within a split second and force the ball in the coverage and that kind of stuff. And the last thing I'll talk about is their blitz. They blitz so much. I've never seen a team blitz this much. And that's because of those corners able to hold it for themselves for those couple of seconds. I know after the first, I think it was after the first game, after the Bengals game, when Anthony Walker was talking to the media, he said that it was, he's never blitzed that much in a game in his entire life. So these linebackers are going on a ton of plays. They're just shooting the gaps. And then when the ends, and when they're not blitzing, dropping back into coverage, you have Myles Garrett, Za'Darius Smith. Those guys are creating pressure in a four-man rush anyway. So that's why this defense has been able to be so explosive. And I don't see them stopping anytime soon.
Yeah, and I agree with you there, especially with Myles Garrett up front. It's going to be, and Jim Schwartz, as you mentioned, being in his defensive mind, those two paired together, it's going to be trouble. Well, let's talk about their matchup, because the Ravens really do perform semi-well against the blitz. Now, you mentioned that the Browns have man-to-man coverage, being their ally, so they can send those guys through those gaps after the quarterback. But the Ravens, a lot of teams are using a different approach. They're blitzing, getting to the quarterback, but they're also playing a lot of zone because they don't want the fear of Lamar Jackson escaping into that second level of the defense concerns defensive coordinators. Do you see the game plan changing with the Browns, seeing as though they've been so successful blitzing and using that man-to-man coverage of that tandem quarterback you talked about?
Yeah, to me, whenever the Browns in the past, without Jim Schwartz, last year they had Joe Woods, but to me, they've always been able to contain Lamar Jackson. Obviously, you're gonna let stuff up. Lamar's such an incredible quarterback. He's gonna run on you at some point. You're gonna forget to spy, and he's gonna take off for a first down on third and five. Like, that kind of stuff is gonna happen. But overall, from what I've seen without Jim Schwartz, with previous defensive coordinators against Lamar, they've been able to contain him pretty well. I can't remember. There haven't been too many blowouts between the Browns and the Ravens in the recent past.
Not recently.
It's been a pretty competitive game, and the Browns have stood their ground. So I see a change, and obviously you have to change your game plan with a quarterback like Lamar. But I don't see anything drastic changing. I think they're going to continue to blitz, and I think that they're going to have those quarterback spies on Lamar. It's just what you have to do with the read option and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Browns, I love their defense so much that maybe even man coverage could work against the Ravens, especially with the injuries to the Ravens offensive line in the first few weeks of the season. But you're right. I think the Browns it'll be in their best interest to kind of switch things up, do more of a contained style type of defense against the Ravens and see where they go. Before I let you go, I really do want to talk about this because I haven't really had a lot of chances to talk to Browns fans, but the Ravens and Colts have a type of history where the Colts left the city of Baltimore and moved over to Indianapolis. And there was that type of rivalry where I think a lot of fans were disappointed with that Week 3 loss because of that fact. Now we're moving on to Week 4, and there's another rivalry with the Browns and Ravens, with the Browns leaving and going to Baltimore in 1996. How was the atmosphere? Maybe not so now, but recently, I should say, with the Ravens and Browns rivalry. Are fans still upset about the Browns leaving and the Ravens winning all those Super Bowls? I hear that a lot in the interwebs, but has the temperament changed a little bit? Is it much more about what's on the field, less more what's off the field?
I think more so for the fans, it's just the rivalry in general. I think that but I also think that it's not far-fetched because of all the other AFC North rivalries. I think that it's the same atmosphere when Pittsburgh comes into town, even now when Cincinnati comes into town. I think it's pretty much similar just because of that smash mouth football in the AFC North. I think that all three of those teams, it's pretty much just a collective rivalry with every team all around. But yeah, I think that the Ravens they're probably the second biggest rivalry in the division. I think Pittsburgh always takes the cake. Mm-hmm. Whenever Pittsburgh's in Cleveland, that's just the rivalry. But yeah, I think that in general, all three of those teams, I think it's all one big rivalry. And I assume it's the same with the Ravens and all like the Bengals coming into town or the Steelers coming into town. I assume that it's just all just a rivalry in general.
Yeah, and I think that really the Browns, before it may have been I think because the Browns are doing so well now, especially, I mean, we're going back to even Baker Mayfield coming into town and being that quarterback for you guys. Ever since then, it seems like the Browns have really picked up the game, and every divisional game is so vital in this division. And that's why you see these fans really jump up out of their seats when they, these players and teams come into town. And it looks like the Ravens are going to Cleveland this time in week four. And it's a huge game for both teams because right now they're tied us out the division. Let's get your thoughts on what you think is going to happen, predictions, maybe a player or two who you think will stand out.
Yeah, it's hard for me to make predictions, but the one thing I will say is that I can't picture a scenario in which this defense plays how it's been in which they lose. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, I think, was an outlier. The Browns are obviously a better team than Pittsburgh, but again, it's that AFC North. Like, it's always going to be a game with no matter what team it is in the AFC North. But with the Chubb injury, Deshaun Watson just looked completely out of it. But if the offense is able to move the ball at all down the field and put points on the board, I don't see this defense taking a step back, like I mentioned earlier. So it's hard for me to pick the Browns to lose with this defense like this. They're not, like I said earlier, they're not just dominant. I mean, they've been historic. So until I see them drop off at all, I do think that they're going to win, especially at home. But again, anything can happen in these AFC North games. Lamar could get the best of any defense, and I think we'll just have to see. But if I had to pick right now, I'd say that I'll give the upper hand to the Browns just because of that defense and the opportunities that they can create for the offense.
Yeah, I think that you can make a statement that the Browns probably should be 3-0 if Nick Chubb stayed healthy in that Steelers game. The Browns and Steelers were neck and neck in that game prior to the injury. So I agree that defense is really special. And Deshaun Watson in week three showed me something that I was talking about last week. If the Browns can really duplicate what they did in Houston and spread that offense out and give Deshaun Watson an opportunity to decipher defenses and make plays, he can be very dangerous. I agree with you. Well, Noah, thank you so much for joining the podcast. I appreciate it very much. Tell the people at home where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, on social media, Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Browns with Noah. And then you can find my written work on si.com/NFL/Browns.
Thanks so much, Noah, for joining us. When we return at the Ravens Talk Podcast, we're going to give us our predictions of what we think is going to happen in the Browns-Ravens game and close things out at the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. That was Noah Weisskopf, who's the writer for Sports Illustrated, who covers the Browns for them. Great to have him on the show. Seems like he's really knows his stuff, especially with the Cleveland Browns. So very good to have him on the show. Well, before we get on to our predictions, actually, I wanted to definitely offer my condolences to the Brooks Robinson's family. We just found out a few hours ago that the Orioles announced that Brooks Robinson, the Orioles legend, tragically passed away. So my condolences go out to his family. As far as the Ravens are concerned, big game against the Cleveland Browns. As I mentioned, they're tied with the Steelers and the Browns in the division. Huge division game. If the Ravens can win on the road, as they did against the Cincinnati Bengals, it'll be huge because that home game, obviously, the Ravens would have the advantage. Defeating the Browns actually would be monumental. I'm actually not too sure what the odds are right now, but I'm sure it's very close because the Browns really dominated in week three against those Tennessee Titans and showed a lot of what they showed in week one against those Cincinnati Bengals. It's going to be tough. So what are my predictions? What do I think is going to happen? I think the Ravens lose. I think the Ravens fall to 2-2. The Browns front four is spectacular. I mean, I can't speak enough about how Jim Schwartz has utilized Myles Garrett so far this season. The Ravens are still injured. As of this moment, we don't know who's going to be available against the Browns in week four. I mentioned that laundry list of injuries to the Ravens, and it seems like it's starting to catch up to them. It is a rivalry game. It is a division game. So anything can happen. As Noah pointed out, these division games are close. So who knows? But I don't like what I saw from the Ravens in week three. And I really go off of what I see. Not on my gut, not what's on paper. I did that in preseason. I saw what's on paper and I said, oh yeah, this team is going to dominate. But really, the Ravens struggled in week one. They picked up the victory against the Texans, but really didn't look all that great. In week two, they looked way more dominant, but the game was still close score-wise. 27-24. And in week three, they looked like they were lost. Like they didn't know what they were doing, where they were going. Maybe I'm wrong, but if I'm a better, I'm not touching this game. No siree, Bob. Put a gun to my head, I'm taking the Browns at home. If the Ravens come out and show out, prove that it was just an anomaly that they lost to the Colts, then, you know, shame on me for rooting against them. Oh, not rooting against them, I would say. Voting against them to lose against those Cleveland Browns. But it's tough. Going on the road against that Cleveland Browns team that I saw, they seem to have their stuff together. The offense was predicated around Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb goes down, of course. They get knocked down pretty hard against those Pittsburgh Steelers. They come back in week three and completely changed up. Deshaun Watson was a man possessed. Jerome Ford looked like a starting caliber running back. Defense was the defense. Derrick Henry and company didn't have a shot. So I'm basing what I saw in week three. The Browns looked dominant. They looked like they came to play. They look like they're fighting for something. And the Ravens are limping. Limping into week four. But there's always a chance. You got Lamar Jackson. You got number eight. You have weapons. So let's see what happens. But put a gun to my head, force me to make a bet, I'm taking the Browns over the Ravens. All right, that's going to do it for us here at the Ravens Talk Podcast. Big loss in week three against the Indianapolis Colts, but we're going to fight back potentially in week four and show us something against those Cleveland Browns. We'll see what happens. I think the Browns win, but I could be wrong. I was wrong in week three. So we'll see. Maybe the Ravens get it together. It's been a pleasure joining you guys today. I'll see you guys next week for the Pittsburgh Steelers rivalry game. This is the Ravens Talk Podcast. See you.